Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host today, Ryan McPherson. Thank you so much for joining us. Today is a special edition of Atlanta Business Radio, where we're going to be talking about the state of affairs of medical marijuana here in Georgia and the hemp industry, and what is the news that you need to know. Before we get started and introduce our guests, we make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter, at Business Radio X. And also, you can follow the show, Atlanta Biz Radio, Atlanta B-I-Z Radio. And check us out on Little Old Facebook. Leave your thoughts and comments there, and you will be able to see photos of our in-studio guests. And now it's my distinct pleasure to welcome a very distinguished roundtable. First, let's say hello to Terry L. Hester with Hemp Express. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Ryan.
All right.
I wanted to say thank you once again for inviting me back to the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. You are a returning guest. We visited with last year. It was a great show. Turned out to be one of our most popular shows on social media, believe it or not.
Well, we are talking about hemp and cannabis.
Yeah. So it's going to be popular for sure. So, yes. So we brought you back as you are an industry insight expert, and you're very well connected. So you'll be able to join the broadcast here today. But let's also introduce Mr. James Bell. He's director of Georgia Care Project. How are you, James?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Tell us about the Georgia Care Project, please.
Well, we started the Georgia Care Project. It's the campaign for access, reform, and education. We started about 4 years ago in an effort to advocate for legalization of cannabis in Georgia. We focus on criminal justice reform, medical cannabis, and industrial hemp. And so we advocate, we work with our lawmakers, we work with the public, and we work with the media on basically an education project to kind of break down the taboo here about cannabis. And there's been a lot of misinformation over the past several decades about what cannabis is and what we can do with it. So we're out here trying to just re-educate people.
Very good. We're glad you take time to join us here today on Atlanta Business Radio. Look forward to more information from you as we dive deeper into this subject. But let's also introduce Joshua Littrell, founder and CEO of Veterans for Cannabis. How are you doing, Josh?
Ryan, good morning. I'm doing well, sir. Thank you
all
so
right.
much for having us.
My pleasure. Fantastic. So Veterans for Cannabis, you served in the military, is that right?
Yes, sir, I did. I did 6 years in the Air Force and served two tours overseas in our Operation Rocket Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom.
Well, thank you for your service. Thank you so much for risking your life for the betterment of our country. Is Atlanta your home?
No, sir. I live up in Northeast Georgia.
Okay.
I did live in Gwinnett County for a while, but I'm from the Northeast Georgia mountains up in Rabun County.
So then you returned to start this project, Veterans for Cannabis, and we look forward to learning more about that. So please stick with us as we turn our attention back to Terry and want to get some updates from you and some news and what's new with you since we last visited.
Well, Ryan, as we were here at the last show, many things have taken place. Number one, I believe I had informed your audience that I was currently in school, and I'm pleased to say that I am a metaphysics. I have my degree in metaphysics from the School of Metaphysics in Sedona, Arizona.
Congratulations.
And it is because of that that I'm able to do all the things that we're going to be talking about.
Fantastic.
Also, for your listeners, I informed them that I had visited Vermont or was going to visit Vermont, and I did get an opportunity to go up there. And I visited many of the people and the farmers who was raising hemp. And I also got an opportunity actually to write a proposal for a community for the state of Vermont for one of the candidates that was running for governor out there. After I saw firsthand in speaking to the farmers and seeing what was going on there, really tasting, touching, and feeling the hemp, I became even more interested and how we can populate it to the other states who were forging that path to make it legal. And this is how I came in with James Bell here as far as industrial hemp is concerned. It has moved very rapidly. And in fact, one of the other things that has taken place besides in Vermont, I had opportunity to know what's going on and to be a little bird in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They have passed legislation that allow industrial hemp to be passed there.
The state of New York did?
Yes, they did. And last month, actually, they had their first conference. The thing about what happened last month, and I just want to share with the audience, is that they have a newly formed New York Hemp Association, and it's where it was held at in New York. It was the Union, the Copper Union Station. They may not be familiar with that particular venue, but it's called the Great Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And the Great Hall is because it has historically been used to bring things into fruition.
Okay.
It was also used for campaigns, like they say, the NAACP. They started their stump there.
Mm.
The women's voting rights started their stump.
Is
and believe
right?
it or not, even the Red Cross, right there, it started. So it would be, it's just a no-brainer.
It's a historical place.
Exactly.
To launch a campaign or to start a movement.
And that's what happened in New York last month.
Very nice.
And along with that, they have other people that has been moving forward, like in North Carolina, in the industrial hemp. And when I saw all this taking place, everybody lining up, one of the things that I saw that was needed is a resource so that we can all get the same kind of information. And all the CEOs, all the executives come together for power.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Hemp Express was born.
Okay.
And Hemp Express is the company I'm CEO. It was formed in November in the state of Texas, the Lone Star State.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a presence in the state of Georgia, as well as North Carolina. And it is growing.
Very nice.
My goal is to introduce people like James and Joshua and get their word out about what they are doing. And I believe that if we, the community, this is the community, we're not political advocates, but it is the community that moves things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the idea of forming Hemp Express is all about. We're an informational resource. We have resources for businesses. We have resources for just anyone who wants to get involved in this $1 trillion industry.
Right. So you're connecting people in the industry, and Hemp Express is growing. Imagine that.
I am Hemp Express. I tell people, get on board,
because yeah.
the train is leaving.
That's right. And we'll leave without you.
That's the Hemp Express.
That's the Hemp Express. All aboard, ladies and gentlemen. So let's talk to James Bell, director of Georgia Care Project. He's been involved with the cannabis movement for over 25 years. I imagine getting involved with it back then was a lot different than it is getting involved with it today.
Yeah, 25 years ago, we had the war on drugs. It was... not a politician. We couldn't, every politician was talking about fighting this war on drugs. Got involved with the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, formed the Georgia chapter here. Went on to work with a lot of people. Got out of the movement for a while. And about 4 years ago, I saw that Colorado and Washington State had just legalized. It was a sign to me that the opinions and attitudes toward marijuana and cannabis here is changing. And so I want to be involved. I want to be a part of this that's changing this industry. And cannabis, marijuana is an industry in this country. Unfortunately, it's underground. And what we're trying to do is bring it above ground to legalize it, to if they want to regulate and tax it, I'm open to that also, just like any other commodity. One of our slogans is we are not criminals. We deal with people who are certainly need it as medicine. We deal with people and work with people who want it for industrial purposes. They want to create businesses around it. They want to create products from it.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to help facilitate that. Anything we can do to get the word out, doing radio shows, TV shows. I do some writing for newspapers, opinion pieces, mm-hmm. and just trying to express myself and let people know there is a movement here in Georgia. And unfortunately, in Georgia, we arrest about 30,000 people a year for marijuana. And that those are resources we feel should be dedicated to more real crimes. And unfortunately, the hemp industry, the hemp issue has been caught up in this whole marijuana hysteria and the reefer madness. You know, I mean, hemp has been used in this country since before we were a nation. So we want to reintroduce that product to this state. We have Tennessee, we have Kentucky, we have North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia all have hemp laws. Last year, we did get a bill, House Bill 704, introduced. A Republican here in Georgia, John Piesold, helped us out to file the bill. We got four other sponsors to the bill. Unfortunately, it did not move forward, but we at least have some good legislation here that we can at least try to get caught up with the rest of the states in the South that are developing their experimental hemp programs. And so our goal and our mission, what we want to see in the future is that if farmers want to grow hemp, it can be used from everything from biomass fuel to making building materials, hemp oil, the medicine. You know, Nike just released their hemp shoes once again. So we've got major corporations out there looking at hemp. We've got automobile manufacturers that are making plastics from the cellulose-type products that come out of the hemp stalk. So, I mean, it's just an incredible plant. It's an incredible subject, and we're glad to be here to talk about it.
Yeah, fantastic. You're right. The times, they are a-changing for sure in Georgia as a state. And we're an industrial leader in a lot of different areas and an agricultural leader. But I believe, personally, if we don't adopt this hemp as an industry and kind of lead the charge on this, we will get left behind by some of the other states.
Well, we're importing almost $1 billion a year in products coming from Canada, China. Europe. If we can import these products here, why can't our farmers grow this product? The uses for it could be anything that you can use petrochemical, fossil fuel, anything that you can make with a fossil fuel, we can make with hemp.
Yeah. And I think there's a big misconception along just the general public, the difference between hemp and marijuana, you know, the medical use of it and the industrial use of it. I think people just think they're one and the same, but they're not.
Well, the federal government defines hemp as being 0.3% THC, a very low THC hemp. It's a very similar-looking plant. It has the typical iconic multi-leaf appearance to it. But, you know, we grow it for different purposes. You can grow it. You can plant the seeds very tightly and grow very long stalks, or you can plant the plants far apart and grow hemp seed crops. And so it just depends on what it's going to be used for. Is it going to be used for fiber to make clothing? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be used to manufacture seeds to produce oils, which, of course, can be used as a biofuel?
Right. All the above, for sure. And Georgia, like we mentioned, is an agricultural state. So why not add another element to that productivity that we're leading in already? So and then why are you so passionate personally about this movement? 25 years ago, you got involved and then you got out of it and then introduced yourself to it. So what makes you so passionate about it all?
Well, what makes me passionate is I believe it's a right. I believe it's our liberty to be able to use cannabis. I think it's no different as far as an intoxicant. I think it's no different than wine. Mm-hmm. It's no more of a crime than drinking a glass of wine. So I look at it that way, that we have the right to use cannabis. We want the freedom to do so.
Yeah, very well put, very simply said, for sure. And Joshua, that's kind of what you're doing now as Veterans for Cannabis and trying to bring some of these reform and to the state house. But what makes you so passionate about this movement?
Well, you know, I mean, the passion comes from a number of different areas, Ryan. And the first thing I want to say, I just saw on the television, it flashed across Hire Heroes.
Yes.
You know, I want to thank you and the station for, you know, promoting that and making sure that our veterans have access to sound jobs here in the community and making sure they're taken care of. Mm-hmm. Because the one thing that they come back with is a set of skills that are undeniable. Mm-hmm. Absolutely undeniable. These people are highly focused, extremely motivated, mm-hmm. and ready to determine their self towards a company and help it better itself and making sure that, you know, it's successful. And that's what our veterans can do. So that's where it stems from.
Right.
I founded Veterans for Cannabis out of a personal issue, to be honest with you. I went to Vermont. Terry and I had this conversation before we came in here today, and I spent 3 years in Vermont. Mm-hmm. I was working for an insurance company. I was a national key account manager. Basically, I trained insurance advisors and financial advisors across the country. So I traveled all the time. I went to Vermont for two specific reasons. One was to mentor under a gentleman who was a rock star in the industry, in the financial services industry. And two was because they had just passed their medical cannabis program. And I went up there because the Veterans Administration does something called throw meds at you, mm-hmm. where they literally will just over-medicate me and mm-hmm. my fellow brothers and sisters in arms. And I went up there because my liver functions were high. Mm. They were already elevated. I was in my mid-20s, late 20s at that point in time, having some kidney issues. And I was like, what in the world is going on? Right. Where's this coming from? You know? Right. and it was coming from the medications. Mm-hmm. I take enough narcotic pain medications a day to literally kill a horse,
right?
Or at least tranquilize it, you know.
Yeah.
And I walk around functioning,
right? And the VA freely prescribes that.
Absolutely,
to you.
They right. do, because I've built up such a tolerance to it over the years that my pain threshold now is at a point to where I have to have higher medication. So I'm on the largest dose of hydrocodone and acetaminophen that I can take every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy. And I take four of them a day.
That's
four
not, to that, six that of can't them. Help you in the long run.
No,
that's
it
not
doesn't.
That's just kind of band-aiding the problem. You need something that's going to help you long term. There's other ways to do that. But unfortunately, you know, that there is this, you know, rigid government bureaucracy that will not adopt some of these traditional or new age way of thinking, however you want to look at it.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm probably the one of the busiest men on the planet of the earth. But the thing is, I'm also effective.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I started Veterans for Cannabis out of my own personal need because my body was breaking down mm-hmm. in my late 20s, mm. breaking down.
Not good.
So I started using medical cannabis when I was in Vermont. And I actually had the opportunity to grow my own plants.
That's nice.
In my own apartment.
Yeah.
And saw what I was putting into the plants. So I knew what I was putting into my body.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to titrate off the medications and reduce it down to about 20%.
Wow.
Of the level it was when I went up there. So I knew then that I had an opportunity to literally save my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this is unbelievable. So I came back here to Georgia.
Yeah.
I moved back here to be with my family. That's where I'm from. I grew up in Northeast Georgia. And I'll be the first one to tell you that I grew up in a really conservative background and family. I was anti-marijuana growing up. I was mm-hmm. the biggest anti-person around. I remember getting in a fight with one of my best friends in the world, a fist fight, over him smoking a joint.
Really?
When we were in high school.
Because you were so against it.
So against it.
Wow.
It was gonna make you the devil. It mm-hmm. was going to make you go steal and rob people.
Right.
And it was going to be terrible. So I didn't even use it until I was in my mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got to experience it and saw the benefit behind it, that's when I came back here to Georgia to take this fight to the state.
Yeah.
So I started testifying at the House and Senate committees and on a personal level, you know, help me save my life.
Right. So it resonated with you personally in the beginning,
yes.
But then you saw there was such a larger need for this for other veterans and then for other people in general that the state is kind of blocking on this behalf. So you decided to champion this cause 100% and just go for it.
Ron, we lose 22 veterans a day to suicide from PTSD.
It's 22 too many.
22 too many. And mm-hmm. you know what? The reason they're taking their lives is not because they can't live with the thoughts and what happened in the perils of war. They take their life because they are no longer the person that they were.
Right.
They are a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally walking around in a haze. They have no love, no excitement, no anything to get them moving mm-hmm. during the day. So they're literally a zombie.
Yeah.
That's why they're killing themselves.
Yeah.
Medical cannabis allows them to treat themselves with something they cannot overdose and die from.
Mm-hmm.
Veterans also die at a 50% greater rate from accidental overdose from prescription medications. Than civilians
do. I did not know that, right.
The number one killer in the United States now, surpassed car accidents about 5 years ago, overdose deaths.
Overdose medication.
Deaths.
Yeah,
medications.
Right.
The number one killer in the United States is pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah.
Yet none of those go to prison every day.
No.
James, what did you mention? We're about 30,000 people we arrest every single year here in the state of Georgia for marijuana offenses.
Mm-hmm.
That's asinine.
Right.
And we're not only ruining that person's life, we're ruining their children's lives,
mm-hmm.
their parents' lives, because the parents have to step up and take the kids at that point in time, or their grandparents' lives. You know, the grandparents are oftentimes becoming parents to mm-hmm. these grandkids again.
Yeah.
So it's a terrible, terrible, you know, wheel that just keeps revolving that we can stop.
Yeah, James?
Well, the good news here is that our lawmakers in the state of Georgia, a lot of them are changing their opinions and their minds about cannabis. For the first time, we've had almost a dozen pieces of legislation introduced over the past 3 years, everything from criminal justice reform, a no felony possession law, a no arrest misdemeanor law, an industrial hemp law, several medical cannabis laws. So the lawmakers, for the first time in my political involvement here, the Georgia lawmakers are talking about cannabis. You can't go to the Gold Dome. I walked in a restroom and I hear people across the stall there talking about marijuana mm-hmm. for the first time. It's become a very, very hot topic under the Gold Dome. So we're really pleased about how the attitudes are changing. We do have a governor, Governor Deal, who has been an opponent of any sort of legalization or decriminalization or even medicalization. He's taken this one step, But frankly, he's created another black market by creating this law that gives you a card and state permission to possess it. But then you have to go out and break another law in order to actually possess the medicine that he approved.
Right. Can't cultivate it in Georgia, and it's just making it even more difficult. Why do you think they're trying to nitpick the laws itself? Instead of just saying, okay, this is what we want, this is what we need, we know it helps, let's just go ahead and make it available to the people, but they keep blocking it on so many different avenues.
Well, there's a lot of special interest involved in this. We have pharmaceutical companies that are trying to patent use of certain compounds in cannabis. That's certainly a motivating factor. They have
Big Pharma is kind of putting up a roadblock in a lot of ways.
I believe so. Yeah. I believe that's happening, and I believe that there's just also a lot of ignorance about cannabis, and there's a lot of the old reefer madness that people still have that in their mind, that they call it the slippery slope. Somehow, if we allow somebody to medicate themselves and heal themselves or help themselves with cannabis, that somehow that we're going to go down this slippery slope to legalization. Well, I say let's go down that slippery slope, and that we need to quit criminalizing people and take them out of that. The only crime is involved in cannabis is the fact that they want it to be a crime. It's no different than alcohol. It's no different than tobacco. We have to deal with the issues of, you can't say that even water is completely safe, okay? Nor with marijuana, nor with alcohol, nor with tobacco. But we allow those products, we regulate them, we tax them, and we allow people the freedom to choose it. Can you imagine outlawing tobacco today? What would happen tomorrow? The black market would pop up immediately, and we would be growing. People would be growing it in their backyards. We would have helicopters flying over our people's backyards looking for tobacco. Mm-hmm. So prohibition was a failure with alcohol, and it's a failure with cannabis.
Yeah, it's just taken a lot to get it undone, Terry.
And piggyback what you're saying, James. In our research, we have found out that there is another reason why our government refuses to legalize marijuana, industrial hemp. Number one, it's about control. I mean, what would it be if we didn't have Big Pharma anymore? But I'm sure all of us are old enough to realize that as we grow up, as we have grown up, instead of things getting better and easier here in the United States, it's looked like we have a runaway government. My attempt is to educate the public as well, and reverse some of the lies, myths, and the fables that is surrounding cannabis. Because the same ones that's telling us not to, they're the same ones that has patents ready to do and get into the industry. But there's a growing number of people, regular people, business owners, who do not want any government involvement because they have a history where they are not to be trusted with our lives. And there's a campaign actually that's going on in its infancy stage, whereas we want all of the television commercials referring to pharmacies and all kind of pharmaceutical drugs to be removed from the airways, just like they did.
And I second
when they
that.
Did. Thank you, Joshua.
Absolutely.
Just like they did with cigarettes.
You don't have it in Europe. I have a friend who lives in Amsterdam, and she came back here to be here for a month, and she said, Joshua, I was absolutely blown away that I'm not seeing any pharmaceutical company commercials in Europe. It's illegal over there. That's where our problem literally lies, at the television screen, because people see this, and then what do? They go force their doctor to give them, because they will not take no an answer, because they said during the Super Bowl, the constipation-induced ad
opiate
pain medication, absolutely.
Irritable bowels or something, right?
Did you know pharmaceutical companies spend more money on advertising than they do R&D?
Yeah, I believe it.
Year.
With all of those incentives, what is there for them not to do it? What incentive do they have? So our goal is not to continue to fight about what's wrong, but to continue just to concentrate and move forward with what we know is right, because we are still the people. And there is no government. I've seen layers upon layers in the redundancies of this government to hide the fact of hemp and what it could do. But again, it's about this medical cannabis. It's about the pharmaceuticals. It's about everyone wants to have their hands in the till. and control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Terry, you know, I want to just expand on that We the People a little bit longer. Ronald Reagan said in a wonderful speech that I still watch and really admire, and I've truly taken this to be an embodiment of who I am, "We the people tell the government what to do." And people forgot that.
Exactly.
We have forgotten that. But with everything that's going on in our country now, they're starting to see it again. They're starting to hear it again. They're starting to understand it again. And we're starting to say it. We're going to tell you, government, what we want you to do. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah, so it definitely should be the way. You know, we're all about freedoms and liberties and being able to choose your life and your direction. And however you want to do that should not be restricted by those underneath the gold dome who think they know better for me than anyone else.
So with that said, and keeping focus on moving forward, a lot of people may not know what's going on in North Carolina, which I envision to be the epic center of where many things will happen in industrial hemp, because the manufacturing plant, it will be built there, and it is being built there. And I don't know if you guys heard of a decortificator.
Mm-hmm.
Decortificator. That is a machine that processes hemp. There's only 5 in the world.
Okay.
One will be in
North
Spring Hope, North Carolina.
And what will they be making there?
That's where they reprocessing once the hemp was legalized.
Turning there. It into fiber or turning whatever they need.
Whatever the farmers could grow and manufacturing. This is what is being established for businesses, because there's many proposals. And I want your listeners who are business savvy to drop me a note
mm-hmm.
or email and tell us how they want to get involved in the hemp industry at HempExpress with the letter X .org, because it's an open opportunity now.
Yeah,
for many people, it is a $1 trillion industry.
I know.
At one time, all of this was legal. As you well know, they mm-hmm. made a lot of things, and we want to bring that back. We are saying that America is economically deprived in many ways. Well, this is one way to resurrect it again. And I believe this, again, is another reason why they don't want it to be legalized. But I don't believe that anybody should capture someone's freedoms and limit, especially in this great state of America that so many people died for. And our veterans continue to do that. And coming from a family of vets and also being a former EMT, I have seen firsthand, up close and personal, how they left one way and came back totally different. So I am an advocate for our vets and for the business person and the children.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because I've seen that they're mostly affected with something that's natural that goes with us. Our cannabinoids, it matches those that's in the marijuana, cannabis, as well as the omega-3s that's in the hemp. So they go with our bodies instead of something synthetic like some pharmaceutical drugs. And that's the issue here. I do not understand, actually, James, how those people, when you go to the state capitol, people who make those decisions, they have an overwhelming amount of evidence. I was there with the parents bringing their children who's having seizures. I don't know how many times a day. Once, I think one of them was having them like 300 times a week.
Right.
Charlotte's Oil, I believe. Components, supporters like Dr. Grupa, who reversed, actually, his decision.
Yes.
And changed his mind when he came out with weed. Though that's undeniable. So to sit there and be a judge and jury for everybody in the whole state is unconscionable.
Well, Terry, I think, you know, for good or bad, money drives policy in this country. And I believe when we can educate people to realize that we can take this product out of the black market and the underground and make a above ground, a legal commodity, and people can make money. They can make, I mean, in 1930s, they were predicting it would be the America's next billion-dollar crop.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the 30s. When we show people that, I think it's going to shift from right now. The money is being made with prohibition through our law enforcement. A lot of money is being spent on prison systems in this state of Georgia, ankle bracelets and controlling people. There's that one interest, and we see that at the state capitol. Law enforcement is pushing back all they can. These are not ignorant people. They understand. They do see the facts. That it's as readily available to them as it is to us as to what cannabis is doing. They can ignore it. They can claim the earth is flat when it's not. But that's not reality. So all I can say is we need to keep working and educating And let's face it, this is an election year. Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot of candidates that are running against the incumbents. I think the lack of a vote last night to expand the medical marijuana bill has sparked a fire and a lot of people to run for office. And we need to identify those candidates and the incumbents to find out, where do you stand on this issue? We're going to go to their town halls. We're going to go to their forums and their debates. We're going to talk this issue and make them put them on record publicly. It's not acceptable to ignore this issue. We know that 84% of likely voters in Georgia support in-state cultivation for medicine. Mm-hmm. We know that 50 to 60% of the likely voters in Georgia support decriminalization or legalization. The legislature is out of touch. They're out of touch with the people of Georgia. What we need to do is elect people who are in touch and have the knowledge, the ability, and frankly, the fortitude to stand up and talk about this issue. There's a better way.
Yeah. All politicians are out of touch, if you ask me, and not just on this issue, but on so many others. What does Georgia Care need more of? Do you need more volunteers? Do you need more donations? Just need more publicity? How can we help? And what do you need more of?
All of the above.
Okay.
Absolutely. We're a small organization, but we've got big ideas. We've got a lot of people across the state of Georgia. I get emails and phone calls every day. Josh was talking about how cannabis changes people's lives. I get people reveal personal stories to me that they wouldn't tell anybody else in the world.
Would even tell their therapist, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, they talk about their therapist who got them hooked on medications.
Yes.
And have destroyed their lives. And they're telling me, James, cannabis has saved my life. It has improved my quality of life and has made me a better person. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when people tell you that, I have to keep fighting. Yes, we can use marijuana on our own. We can use it for so-called recreational use. We can use it for medicine, and we can buy imported hemp. But the point is, and we can keep it underground. But is that really the right way we need to go? I think that this country is right. We're going to ride this wave across this country with this marijuana cannabis mm-hmm. law reform across the country. Georgia, if I have anything to do with it, if Terry and Joshua has anything to do with it, Georgia will not be the last state in this nation to legalize.
No, we're the first in so many other areas, and we're spearheading so many, especially here in Atlanta with businesses and international airport and all these other industries that are thriving here. Here's one that we could begin to make work for Georgia and the people and care at all at the same time if we just get the legislators on board.
One thing your listeners can do is go to our website, gacareproject.com. We've got a lot of good information. We've got 4 years of archive on there about what we've done in the past 4 years. We've got a links page that has everything from all the legislation that has been filed. We've got legal referrals there if you need legal help. We've got other organizations that are helping with this fight listed there. So it's just a good resource. We want to be the clearinghouse of information for cannabis here in Georgia. And to be able to, we're not the only group out here. We've got groups like NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. We've got veterans groups. We've got industry advocates out there working for this, and we want to pull it all together. Somehow together, we're going to make this happen. Mm-hmm. Individually, it's going to be tough. I can't do it on my own. I'm so proud of the people who have stood up over the past few years, and we've had over 100 people come down to the state capitol and stand with us and lobby and create news stories, which gets the word out to the general public who are generally hiding. Let's mm-hmm. face it. About 10% of our population is using marijuana right now in Georgia. We got 10 million people. That's 1 million people in Georgia that are hiding from our government. And it's a shame
that we
treat them as criminals, and we use that as an opportunity to extract money out of them. We're using cannabis as a way. It's destroying their livelihoods. It's destroying their educational opportunities. We can argue the effects of marijuana and what it does to you, good or bad, but the prohibition laws are certainly doing more harm than good.
Yeah, very well put, for sure. And Joshua, what do you need more of for veterans for cannabis? Do you need more support, obviously, more veterans to get involved? What are some of the things that you're looking to add to veterans for cannabis in 2016?
Yeah, Ron, you know, we got a lot of things going on. I just founded a foundation inside of VFC. So it's VFCF, the Veterans for Cannabis Foundation. And what we're looking to do, we're literally going to change the whole landscape of medical cannabis across the country.
Okay. Not just here in Georgia.
No, sir. This is a 50-state 50 state realm, we're going to make this thing happen. So I've partnered with some companies, one that does specific genome testing. So they're going to do DNA sequencing on the cannabis plants. The problem that veterans face now is when you go to do a dispensary or James, you know, here in the black market in Georgia, and somebody says, okay, you've got blueberry yum yum or whatever it is. You may get that same experience that helps you sleep through the night and alleviates the night terrors that you have with your PTSD 3 out of 4 times. But that fourth time, it's not the same experience. Well, why? It was blueberry yum yum.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, it's only blueberry yum yum because somebody's cousin, somebody's friend said it was blueberry yum yum three times tested
for that actual strain that brought you the remedies that you needed.
That's correct. So Veterans for Cannabis is now partnered with Medicinal Genomics, who does genomic testing, and they do DNA sequencing on the cannabis plants. We've also partnered with the Trichome Institute, who does pheno testing. They figure out, you know, exactly what is in that plant. What's the THC makeup of it? What's the CBD makeup of it? What's the terpene make of it? And the terpenes are really what make the cannabis experience exactly what it is. And that really is how we can delve down and quantify and qualitate this data. And we can reproduce this experience for the end user patient, meaning that every single time somebody goes and gets SR71-2 that will be provided through VFC Foundation, it is the exact same experience every time, and it's the exact same substance every time. We know that from a genetic standpoint, and we know that because we can clone that plant, and we can have 1,000, 1,500 pounds of it available. As we get to the end of that, we've already worked on a new phenotype that has very, very similar properties that will be very similar or if not the same experience. So that's who VFC Foundation is. And what we need is I need companies that come around now to say, hey, we're willing to get behind you. We're a 501c3, so we're nonprofit.
Okay.
We're willing to make a donation or a possible endowment to help you save lives of veterans, because ultimately that's what this comes down to. We have a three-pronged approach on this. So in the first phase is the 4 states where there's a legal recreational opportunity for patients to get medicine there.
What are those 4 states?
We have Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and then we have Washington, D.C.
So I thought Alaska was
Alaska
on it.
Yeah, well,
there we go.
Right.
Okay.
But Alaska's still having some issues on working on the distribution side of it.
Okay. So working with those states.
Correct. And we have growers that are being a part of this program already that are willing to donate medicine or cannabis, I'll say at this point in time, because once we start talking about medical side of it, people get really scared and freaked out. So they can get product. We have people that are growing. They're growing very large amounts, and they're willing to donate out of the 10,000 pounds that they grow. They're willing to donate 1,000 pounds or 500 pounds or 50 pounds here and there that are DNA sequenced. It's been genotype, phenotype tested. It's been certified by VFC, by the Trichome Institute, by the List Exchange, and by Medicinal Genomics. So 4 different certifications behind it to know that it truly is what it is.
Right.
It is what we're saying it is, down to the DNA sequence of it, and you can get the same experience every single time.
It sounds like you're the right man for the job at the right time. You're getting it all covered, and you're breaking it down for so people can understand exactly what they're putting into the body. They don't know that when they're getting some of these pharmaceutical drugs. They don't know what goes into that little blue pill or little white pill they may be taking.
Ron, unfortunately, they don't. And you know what I want to expand on there too, being on the business radio side of it, what we're looking at from a business standpoint is we can bring veterans into this and we can offer them a program to be a part of this so that they can grow and they can start growing themselves to provide medicine or provide product to patients that or other veterans that need help. And what that does is twofold. One, it provides product to somebody that needs it, that truly does work, and they cannot overdose and die from it.
Yeah.
They cannot overdose and die from it. More people die from water intoxication every single year than cannabis. People literally die from too much water.
Yeah, I know. You can over drink water and you can die from it. Right.
Cannabis. It's impossible, virtually impossible. The second part of that is when we can get these little farms put together that are veteran owned, veteran employee, then the therapeutic benefit behind growing a plant is something that people are not talking about, but it works. It absolutely works. And I know that from my own personal standpoint and then from all the connections that I've made through these last few years of veterans that are growing and saying, man, this helps me out because I can go talk to these plants and I can get stuff off my chest that's been bothering me. And they listen to me all day long. And then seeing something come to fruition, seeing it grow from very small, seeing it come up. And being a part of that is tremendously therapeutic.
Yeah, and then to be able to harvest that and supply it to those who need it.
Absolutely.
And we know this country as a whole needs more farmers in general as more and more people are migrating to cities. And I know there's a Veterans Farmers Coalition out there who's taken boots to the tractors or whatever you want to call it and turning them in, and only if they could have those farmers cultivating medical marijuana or hemp for the industry would be fantastic for sure. So there's so much more to be done. There's so much more information to get out of there. People need to learn. You know, we just had that kind of benchmark event last night at the State House here in Georgia. What's next on the horizon? What are some things the listeners or the audience can be on the lookout for the next kind of hurdle to overcome in this movement?
James, you want to go with that one?
Sure. Well, through the Georgia Care Project, we formed the Georgia Hemp Industries Association, and we want that to be the organization, advocate organization here in Georgia. We know there's farmers out in Georgia. We know there are investors. We know that people are interested in this as a commodity and a cash crop. So we're going to move forward with that and develop that, get hopefully the farm business associations involved with us and start doing an educational project with them. We're going to continue building the grassroots and growing the grassroots here in Georgia until we can grow the amount of people to be involved and put pressure on our lawmakers. Things are going to be slow. The more we speak out, the more we speak up, the more opportunities we have to advance reform in this state. So we're going to try to keep doing what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. And number one is educating people. Josh and Terry and others out there, we talk the issue every day to somebody, and we try to share the message with them every day.
But nothing's going to change until this time next year. The State House picks it back up again, but so we can just get out there and try to educate and enlighten others so that when it does come to vote again next year, that there's more pressure on the legislators.
Well, and remember, November is our election.
That's right.
It's election season. So before you vote for anyone, make sure you know where they stand on this issue. Go to their town hall meetings, call them. They want your vote. They want your money. They want you to support them. But before you give any candidate your support, you need to figure out where they stand on this issue and quit voting in these people that oppose your particular issues. And you know, I hate to be a one-person issue, but I tell you, cannabis affects a lot of people's lives. Mm-hmm. And we want to make it as important as any other issue debated under the Gold Dome.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to expand on that a little bit, too. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we can continue to do. And James is exactly right on that. We've got the opportunity to vote those people out. Last month, we did, actually, it's just a few weeks ago, we did a demonstration at the Capitol, and it was unbelievable. I walked a coffin in with a flag draped over the top of it, with veterans carrying that coffin in that was filled with prescription bottles from the Veterans Administration. We demonstrated right there on the Capitol steps inside the Capitol and let the lawmakers know what they're doing by not passing medical cannabis. Yes. They are killing people. Wow. And I am not trying to make this nice and pretty anymore. I am pissed off, and we're stopping that. Right. And because it's unacceptable that they're allowing people to die in their state that went off to war, mm-hmm. came back, and thought they could live a normal life, mm-hmm. yet they're not being afforded that normal life because these politicians have bigger interests than pharmaceutical companies that are backing them. That's unacceptable. So we've got to continue to have an open conversation, an open dialogue, because it's no longer against conversation to have this open dialogue with you or your child, mm-hmm. or your pastor,
right.
or your sheriff. Yeah. I was sitting right across from the sheriff last night in Towns County at a Republican Party meeting. I went up and talked about, you know, what the issues are and what I'm running on, and we sat down, and he said, you know what? I really respect the fact that you are willing to get up and stand up for what you believe in. Mm-hmm. You and I may not agree on everything, but I can see where you're coming from on that medical cannabis, and I'm willing to sit down and listen to you. That is the difference that we can make by having the conversation. It's no longer against the people's religion to not talk about
this.
It's not taboo anymore. The conversation. That's what we can do, and that's where we can affect
keep most talking change. About it. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, tell your coworkers. If this is something that you're involved with and you're passionate about, you know, get involved through one of these many outreach organizations. Educate yourself and begin to you know, get involved and make a difference in the world one person at a time, for sure. So Terry, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, and to piggyback on what everyone has been saying, as far as the industry is concerned, since we are on a business radio, I want to inform some of your listeners and also keep a promise to some of my other supporters and constituents who I said that I would mention some things as where it's like finding a needle in a haystack. Well, if someone already say, well, there we go, how much time can that save you? an enormous amount of time. So the same thing in business. How can I make money? That's what I hear constantly. How I'm a business owner, how can I make money if I get into this industry? This is why I look and have connections with James and Joshua, as they have said, ways that your listeners can help them.
Mm-hmm.
I like to also ask someone in the hemp industry in North Carolina, because it's very important. They are being asked to raise $250,000 for their own commission. So in that area, my thing is, not even though we're in Georgia, this is a small industry right now, because the word is everywhere. You know, you get to know a lot of people in a very short period of time. And if I know people here in Georgia, well, you may know somebody in another state.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know Joshua. You knew people, some of the same ones in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
But we do. And this is how this industry is. Well, in North Carolina right now, I want to share with the listeners who have businesses that they are looking for funding to help them to get their commission and also to get a stake there. They could learn more about what is required of them and what that commission requires by just going to my website, hempexpress.org, and clicking on North Carolina's logo.
Okay.
They'll be taken to their frequently asked questions, and all the information that they need will be there. It's North Carolina, again, is a very important state in this United States because of the fact that it will be where the manufacturing of hemp will be done at. The possibilities of what that's going to happen is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that your listeners can go and get an opportunity at least to inform themselves.
Good. That's good. Actual intelligence that someone can go today and begin to kind of help push this ball forward and further down the field.
You have to position yourself in a trillion-dollar industry, because once it's out, it's too late.
It is.
So we are the movers and the movers and shakers of this industry, and we're looking to see where the advancements can be. How can you make your money work for you, working smarter, not harder? This is one of the industries I would definitely recommend when people say, what industry, Terry? Medical cannabis, industrial hemp.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two right now. With each generations, I believe there's new things that have come forth. This is an age of information and also progression. And if they don't, the lawmakers or anyone our governments are not informed as to what cannabis and industrial hemp is, only because they did not do their research.
Mm.
And why would we want to depend on somebody's vote who will not take the time out to do their own studies before they sit in those chairs? Because we shouldn't even be having a conversation about this. It should have been a done deal. This is the United States of America.
Right.
But nevertheless, another thing I want to say, this is local in Madison, Georgia. Some of my associates there, they have a farmer's market. And you may be familiar with that. It's called Farmview. And Farmview is located, like I said, in Madison. Well, for those people who grow food, I'm a big supporter of farmers. I grew up on a farm in North Carolina as well. I love the dirt. It's very therapeutic for those who grow their own foods, which is becoming extremely important that we do so. They are looking for vendors because they're opening in April. So if you're growing your own food or know someone who has, or you're thinking about going into the food industry in some type of way, and you want to have an opportunity for at least the people to sample your wares,
mm-hmm.
then you need to get in touch with them, and you could contact them by going to their website at farmviewmarket.com.
Very good. Well, we're almost out of time here today, but before we wrap, we want to make sure our listeners can get in touch with you and get involved with your organization if they do so. So let's start with you, Terry. Again, remind our listeners of your website or any way they can contact you.
It's very easy. Hemp X marks the spot.
Yep.
So hempexpress.org.
All right.
And we're on the Facebook page as well. We would like to hear from you. There is a form there on the page as well that they could just put their information and sign up to be on our email list. Because, again, our goal is to make millionaires and trillionaires out of this industry. Awesome. And to do that, businesses and small businesses have always been the backbone of the United States. And we don't need to, no longer should we be dependent on what's going on Wall Street and Main Street to dictate what we do, because we, again, are the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I support small businesses, 100 and 100%. Let's put it this way.
Okay.
And so, again, Ryan, they could go to hempexpress.org and get on board the Hemp Express.
Yes.
Because you will be left.
All right. Very
and
good.
Thank you for having us back here.
No, thank you for putting this all together. And you're welcome back anytime with news to share. Or if you just want to come say hello, the door is open. So thank you so much, Terry, for joining us. And James, for you and Georgia Care, how can people get involved?
Well, first of all, there's nothing better than a homegrown tomato and homegrown cannabis.
Okay.
So I want to throw that out. We love the farmers and anybody that can be self-sufficient. We support that. We are Georgia Care Project. You can look us up. We have a website, gacareproject.com. Same thing on Facebook, GA Care Project. You can find us there. You can sign up, get our emails. We meet periodically. We go on college campuses. We've got a couple affiliates around the state of Georgia. You can go there if you want to, you know, be involved. We teach people how to write editorial letters. We teach people how to lobby, how to be effective in moving this issue forward. So gacareproject.com. Would be glad to have you there.
Great. And I know this is a conversation that doesn't end here today. Once the on-air light goes off, you know, this is something that can continually happen in your living room or at your water cooler at work. And certainly come on back and maybe we can do another show and Hemp Radio or Georgia Care Radio. Who knows? There's always news to share. And so thank you for connecting with us and being a guest here today.
It's a pleasure.
All right. And Joshua, for you and Veterans for Cannabis, how can listeners get involved or learn more?
Well, Ryan, first off, I want to thank you and the studio for having us here. And, you know, as I look around the studio and I see all the stuff that's veteran specific, it just warms my heart.
Good.
We get it so much, the thank yous in the community and stuff, but to actually see it from a business, we from the veteran community can't say thank you enough.
Well, you know, I'm a veteran myself. You know, I served was in the Army, served a tour in Iraq, 2008 and everything.
Well, I'm going to coin check you right now.
So. Yeah, well, mine's not in my pocket.
Oh,
I know exactly where it is.
Sure.
It's on the dresser at home. I can visually see it there. But that is a fantastic Air Force coin, a joint mission in the pursuit of freedom. And that's what you're doing today as well, right?
Sure. Yes,
and so tell our listeners how they can find information about you.
Yeah, absolutely. There's two different spots. You know, first off is vfcannabis.org. Mm-hmm. That's where Veterans for Cannabis is really championing our cause. And the 501c3, all the information will be up on the website within the next week. We'll have the ability to donate there as well. And we need to save these veterans' lives. I mean, this was a really easy thing for me from the get-go. This was about saving lives.
Yeah.
That's all. And then it became about a business because I saw a business opportunity
filling
as well.
Filling a need, filling a void that wasn't being filled. And you're the right man for the position. I have no doubt about it. Your passion resonates with our listeners on air, and I'm sure it does everywhere you go. So we encourage our listeners to get involved with you and your organizations all the way through and through. So thank you so
much. Absolutely. I can't say thank you enough. And, you know, the other place is voteliteral.com. James and Terry, and you spoke about it earlier. Mm-hmm. It's about voting those people out. I'm running for state representative in District 8. And, you know, your vote isn't, if you're not in the district, it doesn't count. But your campaign contributions, they don't have any limitations to them. So we appreciate these contributions there. And we got to vote these people out that can make a decision, a sound decision to save people's lives in the House.
No doubt about it. And veterans and civilians alike all can benefit from everything that you're doing. So certainly you've got my vote. If I lived in Towns County, I'd be voting for you. But anyone I know up there, I will push them your way for sure. So thank you so much for joining us. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a wrap for today. We are Business Radio X, the voice of business, and in this case, medical marijuana, hemp, and legislative issues. So if your company or organization is doing something interesting and you want to be featured on the program, pitch us your story at businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.